All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. This is Brad, Josh, and Mitch. Today we're going to be talking about ice. A lot of places over the United States now have started getting some ice, and some guys have been out on that hard water already. But for those that are just starting on the sport or getting back into it, we want to talk about what you should be doing now. If you've had ice just for a few weeks, or if you've had ice for 5-6 weeks now, where do you want to start locating fish? So typically this time of year, down here in Colorado, a lot of our lakes are just starting to freeze up. Of course, the mountain lakes are frozen. They've been hard for a while, but around down in the plains areas, they're just starting to freeze up. So we need to start thinking about, if we're going out on that safe ice for the first time, where do we start looking?
Yeah. So. Well, and I usually, you know, especially first ice, I'm going to kind of preach it a little bit, but ice safety, you know, I think the very first thing is you got to make sure that the ice is safe. We're all excited to get out there because most people that ice fish every year, they love it. And if you're new to ice fishing, being out on a frozen lake can be a new thing to you too. So, you know, the first thing is to make sure the ice is safe. And they recommend 4 inches for a person to walk on. So we'll just keep with that. I mean, it's like 6 inches for an ATV, snowmobile, stuff like that, and a foot for a pickup, small pickup like that. So, but really here in Colorado, there's only a few lakes up in the mountains that we can take ATVs and stuff on. So a lot of the places we fish, we're hiking, we're dragging our sleds and walking. So I like to get out there as soon as I can and, you know, 3 to 4 inches maybe.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's pushing it. But here's the thing that we have in some of our lakes down here in on the foothills is that you'll have 4 or 5 inches of ice and you go 200 yards now it's 2 inches. So now, like you said, Mitch, safety is key. Yeah. I mean, Mitch or Josh was talking about fishing down in Pueblo, which is a southern reservoir. And tell them about like how the ice forms there, when there is ice.
Well, I mean, I'll be the first to admit, I know absolutely zero about ice fishing because we never had ice. But if it did form, I remember the one time we went as a kid, we fished in the back bay. I mean, that was, you know, you'd find a back bay, it would have the 3 or 4 inches that Mitch was referring to, and then and you didn't go much further than 20 yards out, because after that, I mean, there was open water 100 yards out. So you fished, you know, where you could, and that was all you did. So, and even that only happened, I think, 2 or 3 times growing up. So, yeah. So I never, you know, I never ice fished. I mean, I'll be asking you two the questions about this, just as if anybody that's listening to this would ask questions, because
that's good.
I don't have the slightest clue. I mean, I do know that, you know, some of it takes different equipment than what I have. And, you know, going out and buying the extra equipment on top of all the money I spend on the open water, to me, just is a hard concept for me because I never did it growing up. But Mitch, being a Minnesota boy, I mean, you guys lived, you know, eat, breathe, slept ice fishing. So I know that's right up your alley.
Yeah, it's locked in for sure. It's a pretty cool thing, you know, and to drill holes and find fish and catch them, and the whole aspect of it. But back to safety real quick, I just recommend, you know, hey, if you haven't been out on the ice yet and you're venturing out there for the first time, use a spud bar and out in front of you, jam that thing onto the ice. 100%. Yep. And you're going to be able to, if that baby drops through, don't go any farther.
Yeah. No fish is worth that.
No. Live to fish another day for sure.
Yes. Yeah, and don't bring your dogs out there. You know, I mean, there's so many people we see in the metro area. I mean, obviously, Brad, you see this probably more, but, you know, people have their dogs. They go out on these metro area ponds and they fall through, and then they go out and try to save them and they fall through. And before you know, you got dead dog, dead people. And so I've seen these people take them out to our reservoirs and their dogs fall through all the time.
They're taking them out on a half inch of ice.
It's just a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I always recommend going with another person, having a rope. Especially that person behind you.
Walking apart, like, not walking right next to each other.
So, you know, I'm going to take Josh out here in a couple days for that early skim ice experience. And I'm going to have him go out in front, but I'll have the rope.
Yeah, that's right.
Given the full experience.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be fine.
You'll be good.
And the ice picks are pretty nice to have,
they
too.
They are
it's
good.
It's just these two little plastic jammers and wood. I've seen them homemade, but they've got a pick at the end and elastic band around it. You keep it around your neck, and if you do fall through, it gives you something to hopefully jam into the ice and pull yourself back.
They're really good.
Or catches on the ice and chokes your ass underneath the water, right?
One last thing, just because it kind of in that situation of safety, and then we can get away from safety and we'll just have fun ice fishing. But a lot of people, of course, you drop into 32 degree water. If you do break through, what do? It's panic time. I can't even imagine dropping in and how you'd lose your breath and just you couldn't even breathe hardly just from the cold, let alone the shock of the whole situation. Well, a lot of people panic and just start freaking out, and they're facing, the direction they were heading, right, and they dropped in, and they're trying to get out that same direction. Well, the very first thing you want to do is, of course, stay calm if you do drop in. Mm-hmm. Stay calm, do a 180, turn around, and get back to the ice that you just came from.
Right.
Because that's what's thick enough to support you, or better anyway, you have no idea how thick the ice is out in front of you. So that's just a couple of things. If the worst happens, that can make a big difference.
Yeah, and the ice picks, they are. I mean, we joke about it, but they've saved a lot of people every year.
Sure, sure, you bet.
So, okay, so now safety is definitely a concern. We're past that. We're talking about getting out on let's say, we'll call it 6 inches ice. You're sure. Good.
You're
the whole lake is six.
Yep, we had 4 days of frigid.
Yes, you're good. So if the lake, I haven't ice fished near as much as Mitch, but growing up in the Midwest, we had several months a year to where that's your only option. So and our first ice out experience after the water had been frozen for a week or two and you got good ice to go out there, we would always start in the shallows, near vegetation, where we last had bait fish, where there's anything growing in the weeds, is still holding fish. Fish are still going to relate to that. A little bit warmer water, just because of the water can heat up even through the ice with the foliage down there. Just seems to produce well. I know that's how what we did when I grew up fishing in Nebraska, Iowa region. Mm-hmm. Same in Minnesota first couple weeks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Totally. A lot of times bays are gonna hold fish and right on the edge of the bay where it goes to deep water, right on the two sides of that bay is just a hot spot. It's a great early ice spot.
Yeah. Fishing on those shallow areas, you can do a multitude of things, and we'll talk a little bit I don't know if we'll get it in this one or the next podcast about a few different presentations or the way that we fish them, the holes. But so typically, like we talked about, fishing shallow, transitioning later, 3, 4, 5 weeks later, gradually moving deeper until you're getting on those breaks and getting into deeper water where fish are going to suspend or actually. Depends on how deep your lake is, actually hug the bottom, and you're really going to be working the bottom.
Well, really, just to make it a little more clear, so when we're talking shallow water, like what Brad brought up, where we like to start, we're talking shallow. So my pike spot here in Colorado, when I get there for that first ice, I've got tip-up set up in 3-4 feet of water.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to Minnesota a few years ago, and we had early ice right at Thanksgiving, and it was thin ice, but there was a mob of us out on this little lake because the bite was hot. Well, again, we were in 3 feet of water. It was at night, and we were catching walleyes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's crazy. We're talking shallow.
So
really, you can be as shallow as that 3 feet, but a lot of times that 8, 10, 12.
Yeah, I was going to say 8 to 12 is usually where I kind of.
Yeah,
but I've caught them in 5, 6.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid.
Yep.
So let me ask you guys a question. If you are fishing for certain species, and it doesn't matter which one you pick, do the same rules apply for hard water as they do for open water? So like you just said, you were fishing at night and catching walleyes. Is it still a night bite for walleyes as it can be for open water, or does it matter as much through the ice?
No, it does. It's the same.
Same
pattern. Low light conditions are prime time. Walleyes will bite all night. You know, pike don't usually. Perch, whatever. It's pretty typical of the same.
The only time I've ever really, when you asked that question, I got thinking about it. If you're fishing a snowed lake where there's a lot of snow and it's keeping it dark, I don't seem to notice it as much. Like that morning bite or evening late night bite will sometimes prolong into the late morning because I think it's just all the snow cover.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and you know, it'd be just like open water again, but trout, there's no pattern. You know, you catch
well, there's never any trout with pattern for anything.
Or bass. Yeah. Bass, you really don't catch at night. Yeah. I mean, smallies you will.
Do you get a lot of... Now, that's an interesting question. You rarely see pictures, and you rarely hear of people catching a lot of bass through the ice, but is ice fishing for bass...
Oh yeah,
big thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, you know, in the open water where people are, you know, really pounding an area.
Right.
You know, that's the thing about ice fishing. You're limited to where you can go, even with all the new technology and all the, you know, augers and, you know, everything that we use. We can be way more mobile than say 25 years ago, but it's still, you know, compared to being in a boat.
You're still fishing 8 inches of water.
Right.
You know, eight to 10 inch holes, whatever, seven.
Right. Yeah,
and eight inches of water is what I call it. You guys are 8 inches.
Right. So, no jerk baits in 8 inches.
So I'll tell you, here's something, it's about bass fishing in the ice.
Yeah.
We were on Chatfield years ago and kind of by the tower. So it's
in Chatfield's where?
Here in Colorado, sorry. That's right. Here in the Denver metro area. Well, and it's probably over 25 feet of water out in front of the tower.
Right.
A lot of times you don't get good ice there, but we did that year. And it was later in the season. But my buddy, it just had a minnow and a hook and a spring bobber, which is just a little wire, a strike indicator at the tip of a rod tip. And no problem for the trout that he loves to catch, you know, because they'll just engulf it and you've got them.
Yeah.
But he kept getting these bites and he kept going to set the hook and he kept missing. And, you know, he's getting so frustrated and I just kind of was giggling at him because I could see it happening.
Right.
And I didn't really know either what was down there messing with him. I thought for sure they were walleyes. I was like, dude, they're walleyes and we're going to get them here. And I showed him how to do a slip bobber. Mm-hmm. He'd never done a slip bobber, especially ice fishing. And he's like, you know, which to me, that's all you do, almost all you do ice fishing with live bait. And we hooked up that slip bobber and dropped it on. Also, the bobber dink, dink, danced a couple times and boom, dropped about halfway down the hole. And I told him, hang on, wait. And it just sat there. And all of a sudden, once it started going again, I said, go ahead and take him. Boom, pulled it up. Yeah, 16-inch smallie.
Oh, nice.
And it was smallie after smallie after smallie afternoon. But without, you know, making that switch in the technique that we were using, who knows? We would never have known what they were. And we would have just got more and more frustrated.
I think that the reason, too, is largemouth, which are your typical bass that you see all the pictures of. You see plenty of smallmouth and stuff. But it's warm water, right? So there's not a lot of ice fishing for bass. In Nebraska, I've caught a ton of bass.
Really?
A ton of largemouth. Mm-hmm. Ice fishing.
Really?
Yeah. Fishing for crappie, and you catch bass.
Yeah. So out of all the stuff that you guys have fished on the ice, what are your top two choices for fish through the ice? Your two favorite ones to catch through the ice?
Perch and walleye are my
favorite. I mean, I know Mitch is rainbow, right? What's your other one?
Brown trout.
Two favorites.
No, you know, that's the thing. Of course, walleye for me and perch. I love perch. But I love pike.
I like catching a crappie too. When you get into a crappie panfish bite, it's fun.
Hey, and I'll tell you, the one thing that, you know, we started working on last year more, we've done it in the past, but want to get better and better at it, and we're going to focus on it, Laker fishing.
Well, and that's the one I would love to go up. And I know we have a couple places here.
Yeah.
And they're just massive too. I mean, a regular hole does.
Yeah, me and Mitch went on a 3-day trip up into Granby, Colorado last winter and spent some time in -5 degree weather.
Yeah,
3 days.
Yeah, that's
And we caught max, but we didn't get into the big ones. Yeah. But we're gonna.
Yeah. I would like to do that. I've heard a lot of stories about that, and that would be the one thing I would go up in.
So we've talked a little bit about the shallow. Maybe after 3, 4, 5 weeks of ice, they start transitioning down. But I know the question that I get asked quite a bit is, how do you know where this, let's say we're at week 4 or so, and you want to try finding that break. Without drilling 9 million holes, especially for the guy that doesn't have a power auger, you're going to be out there drilling 8, 9 inches of ice. After hole 8, you're starting to tucker out a little bit, you know. So, trick. You want to tell them a trick?
you know, it's a great trick if you have the flasher, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, you got your Vexlars and Markhams, and it's pretty slick. Most people know this already. So if you have one, you know this. But it's just another cool feature that they have. So if you don't have a flasher unit and you're getting into ice fishing, I highly recommend it because they're awesome. But you can just pour water on the ice right out of your water bottle and drop the transducer on the ice. And with that water on the ice, it'll shoot through the ice and give you the depth.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep. So real quickly, if you know you're in the area where that break is and you want to get right on the break, or maybe you want to, I like to drill holes. I might drill a hole up on top of the break.
See if they've transitioned down, yet. You don't know.
Yeah, and then even down at the bottom of the break, and I'll just take turns fishing those holes back and forth, you know, give 5-10 minutes each hole, and that gives me mobility. But really, being able to shoot through the ice like that is such a time saver. It's not even funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do the same, this is a good question. It brings up a thought I just had. Do the same laws apply for ice fishing as it does for open water? Is it two rods per fisherman?
Yeah. Here in Colorado it is. And like in Minnesota, we're not allowed 2 rods in open water, but ice fishing you are.
Oh, I see. Yep,
so you're allowed 2. But boy, you get into Michigan, some of these states, and I'm not sure exactly the rules, but Illinois, somewhere, I'm not sure where it is. I don't think there's a limit to how many tip-ups you have out, or it's 20 or 10 or something ridiculous.
Really?
So you can have multiple lines in some states. So, you know, it definitely, wherever you're at, check your local regulations. But usually you're more liberal where you do get to have those two lines.
And is ice fishing, it appears to me from what I see and everyone's posts and things like that, is there always some piece of bait, whether it be a chunked up sucker or a millworm, or, you know, is it always bait?
No.
And so what would it make it not bait?
Jigging wraps are a perfect example.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the best things to use ice fishing. If you're not using live bait, I mean, I use live bait. Nothing better than, especially if you're running a tip up, is having a sucker or a minnow or something down there swimming around, doing all the work for you. But jigging? No, I like the jigging wraps. Yeah. I use the heck out of them. Or spoons, slab, whatever.
Yep. Blade baits for that matter.
Yep.
Really?
Yes, they were good.
Jigs?
So, you know, a couple of things, like here in Colorado, we're not allowed to have live aquatic bait above, I think, 7,500 feet and west of the divide.
Right.
So a lot of our lakes that we ice fish here in Colorado, we can't bring up live minnows. So we'll fish tip ups, you know, for pike in some of those lakes with dead frozen suckers, 6-8 inch suckers.
Yeah, I've heard people like do the same thing with shad or whatever.
Yep. But here on the Metro Lakes, you bet you can use live minnows. Yeah. And so a typical, real generic, but if I had to kind of group up how I ice fish, just because I'll throw this in, I'll drill 2 holes. I'll drill 2 holes. On one rod, I have like a jigged spoon. I may have a minnow heads on it.
Right.
A mealworm or whatever.
Yeah, you know, I might tip it with some scent, you know, some bait. Mm-hmm. And then in my other hole, I have a dead stick. And that's typically either just a slip bobber with a bare hook and a minnow. Might be, a jig with a minnow. But a lot of times I like to have a live bait. But that's my dead stick, and I just let it sit there. As I jig my other one with my sonar, my flasher unit, watching for action. And I tell you what, it's a great combo, because sometimes those fish coming in, they're real aggressive, and my holes are right next to each other. We're talking, you know, just a foot apart. But sometimes they'll hit that jigging wrap because they're aggressive. Sometimes that'll draw them in and attract them. But boom, then they see that, you know, that.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah, they come in.
We saw that a lot with the Mackinaw this last year up in Granby. You would be jigging. Now we're using, we actually did a video on how we tie, and I don't know if we have that out on YouTube or not. If nothing else, we'll reshoot it or we'll send it, make sure we get it out sooner or later. But we were using 5-inch tube baits. Looked like crappie baits, but they're 5-inch tube jigs with 1-ounce jigs.
Right.
Because we were fishing deep water. And you're beating up the bottom, mud bottom, and then you're raising it up, jigging. And with the flashers, you would see the fish start coming in from you jigging aggressively. And then they would, you'd raise your jig up and you'd watch the flasher raise up right with your jig.
Really?
And then you'd tap, trying to get him. And then you'd see him start dropping down and raising up. And you'd pull your jig back up, start jigging the hell out of it. And they'd all of a sudden it'd start lighting up again. You'd have all kinds of lights around. They're looking right at it.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat. The flashers are cool. Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Well, and I think that my ice fishing style is real similar to you know, how we do it in the boat. I'm pretty impatient. So when it comes to ice fishing, back in the day when I was younger, you bet, we didn't have flashers. We didn't have anything. We had houses that we'd set up on the lake.
They were there all season.
Yeah, you know, we may move them on the lake, but it's not going to another lake. And we'd drive to our house and hang out and, mm-hmm. you know, drink ice house and sometimes catch a fish or two mm-hmm. and sometimes not. But it was my wife teases me because it was a big social event. But now being mobile, having an auger, a sonar, drilling my two-hole method with the, you know, dead stick right. and jigging around, I may work an area for 10 minutes. Boop, I'm up and I'm gone. I might go 40, 50 yards is all. But kind of that range that I kind of picture that if I was trying to attract a fish with my jigging wrap
right.
or jigging spoon, whatever, that it would have brought them in. If not, boom, then I'm going to set up and do it again. And I will move and throughout the day, don't stop.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It'll increase your catch rate 100 times.
Wow. It really does. Yeah. It really does. Yeah. You know, and it really is fun. For those that haven't done it, they think it's, my God, I'm sitting on a frozen pond. This is not fun.
Wow.
It is. It is fun, especially when you go out there. It is, like Mitch was saying, your wife's right, it's a social thing. But mm-hmm. when you have a couple, two, three guys, your kids with you, whoever's with you, and you're just sitting around, it's a good time to, you get away from the phones, you get away from the TV, and you're right. just out there talking about the day and fishing.
Yep.
It's a good time. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
So. So I think we're going to wrap it up here, guys. This is our first series on ice fishing. We're going to do a couple topics out here on ice fishing, so we'll have some more coming. But I want you to get out on that hard water and give it a go. Just be safe out there. Have a good night.
Thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.